Mike McCoy, welcoming you to the Time of Truth. First Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 20 is where I'm going to begin reading. I'm going to steal a title from Bill Gaither, and I want to preach a few minutes this morning on Because He Lives. Because He Lives. Have you found 1 Corinthians 15 and 20? Shout amen. Amen. I know you can do it now. So you don't have to sit there silent. You just proved that you could. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. Father, I bless you for this day. I'm sorry for Adam's fall, but I'm glad, praise God, for the last Adam's resurrection. We praise you for this day, for each one that's come this way. Lord, I can't preach without you this morning. I can't do one thing without you. So God, I pray that you would come and manifest your presence in this place today. I'm asking you, Lord, to fill my mouth and guard my tongue. Preach me inside the bounds of this book. Touch me with your power, God, afresh and anew. Feed your people with your word. Save the lost that might be gathered here under the sound of my voice or those watching via internet. I bless you and I praise you, Lord. It's a good day. I hear the sounds of babies. Hallelujah. There's still hope. There's still hope. We bless you for it. Ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Paul trying to straighten out the Corinthian church on the matter of resurrection. My heart is laid upon this today. It all makes the difference. Today is the difference maker in the history of the world. Without today, it's already been said in Sunday school. I mentioned it this morning, but it's worth repeating today in the midday service that without the resurrection, friend, we're all hopeless today. We're lost and we're in our sin and there's no hope for us. But I'm glad that on the third and glorious morning, just like He had predicted, slain from the foundation of the world, that the Lord Jesus came forth and presented Himself to those that believed on Him. Did you notice that in the Scripture, it doesn't say anything about those that didn't believe? His appearance, that is. At the first, the disciples didn't. They were confused. But then He revealed Himself unto them. The others are still scratching their heads saying, "Someone stole the body. Pay money. Get rid of him. We don't want him here." But can I tell you, it's because He lives today that I can stand here. Praise God. I'm glad that He's alive. We have here in this few passages of Scripture, verse number 20, I want us to look at something, and this is the fact. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. The first fruits in the Levitical law was this. They was going to bring a sheaf of that which first come up and developed and was fully grown. They was going to take that thing and they was going to present it to the priest. The priest was going to give it to the Lord. And what this assured was this, that there was other sheaves coming behind it. And when the first fruit was given, it was a guarantee that there was more on the way.
Can I tell you, that's what the resurrection of Christ is when He was risen. What it says, I'm not the first, the only one. I may have been the first one, but I'm not the only one. There's some coming behind me. I'm glad that one glorious day, hey, there's some other fruit going to be resurrected because He lives today.
It's a fact. Some would argue that. They can be wrong if they want to. Jesus got out of the grave. Are you still with me? Verses 21 and 22. We see the fact in verse 20. For 21 and 22, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. You know what that is? That's the future. If you're in Christ Jesus today and you know that you've been saved, you're satisfied. Hey, you have it. The Spirit has revealed or has confirmed with you your salvation today. If the Spirit hasn't confirmed that, friend, then you need a checkup. We know we're saved because the Spirit hath revealed these things unto us. John said it like this in 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may what, Brother Junior? Know that you have eternal life. It's something that you can know today. If you're waiting to find out before, if you've got it or not until you get there, friend, you're going to be disappointed. Preparation, arrangement, everything better be settled on this side of the grave. And if it's been settled on this side of the grave, glory to God. Can I tell you, I've walked to the cemetery with a lot of them and watched the sod be laid across that box. Hey, but one glorious morning, because here's the future of those that be in Christ, there's going to be others resurrected. Glory to God. Into eternal life. Isn't that good? That's the hope of us that's laid them loved ones down. I heard that there was some churches, a motel, something. Sri Lanka had the attack on Christians. And by the way, that isn't anything new. It's been happening ever since the church was developed or birthed at Pentecost. But if those people died, they didn't die in vain. If they died in Christ Jesus, I'm telling you, they're as sure of an eternal life as I am that I'm standing on green carpet in black boots. Eternal life. Thank you. Do you know what we see? That's the future. What's your future? Some don't even plan for the future. They're living day by day. They're hoping they get by today so they can face another day tomorrow. They don't have any plan. They don't know what's going to happen. You really don't know what's going to happen. If it be the Lord will, we'll have it tomorrow. If not, we won't, Brother Dennis. But we can know this, praise God. We can know where our eternal destination is. Lies. A lot of people never consider that they're only here for a short time. My good friend, your life is but a vapor. It appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away. Your days are turning. It is so quick. And the older you get, the faster it goes. I know you young people get tired of hearing that, but one of these days you're going to say, you know what, that old preacher knew what he's talking about. Now here I am in the middle. Well, I'm way past the middle. I'm headed toward the end. Here it is. But there's better things ahead. You still with me? In verses 21 and 22, we see the future. Verses 23, 24, and 25, we see forever. It's going to be settled. You're going to be somewhere forever. I want us to look at something right here quickly. I'm going to start in verse 22. I'm going to back up and catch 22 because I need it to bring this into context. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. I want you to understand something today. According to Scripture, that it's been said time and time again this morning, it's appointed unto man once to die, but He's going to make all alive again. In Revelation chapter 20, when He said, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and He seen them judged out of the books." So He sees the lost are brought back to life to stand before Him. Listen, the saved are brought back to share eternal life with Him, and the lost are brought back to share eternal death. Say, that's way out, preacher. Listen, here's how way out it is. A man died on a cross, was buried in the ground, got up on his own power on the third day. Hey, that's way out there. How can that happen? That's God! That's how it happens. There's no other explanation. You can't say anything about it. If He can't do it, He's not God. He's God, Brother Paul. I'm going to be with Him forever. I'm not getting into the millennial reign, the 7-year tribulation, the millennial reign, and then the forever that comes after that. That's an entire different message. But we are in the dispensation of grace, and now's the opportunity to step into the door. He's knocking this morning. Just know there's not many people want it anymore. Everybody's saved today. Just ask them. Everybody's saved until you ask them how you know you're saved. And it train wrecks right there. Well, I went to an altar one time. That don't get it done. That doesn't get it done. It's a good way to do it. But that's not what makes it happen. What makes it happen is when we repent. Repentance isn't something you say. Repentance is this. You're going this way, and all of a sudden, now you're going this way. It means to turn. Confession is what you do with your mouth. Confession, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with confession the mouth made unto salvation. We speak it because we have it. But coming to an altar, some say, well, I've been to an altar. That don't make you saved. What makes you saved is when you've been birthed. Jesus said it like this, Joe. He said, you must be born again. And that means you start out, you must be as a little, you must be converted. Hey, we become like little children. We're born into that, and then we begin to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. What does that settle? That settles our forever. Do we know about our forever today? Where are you going to be in the next 5 years? You have no idea. You have no idea. Now, we have plans, but we don't know. But you can know where you're going to be forever. Isn't that good? I don't know 5 years, but I can know forever. Seth, that's good, brother. Three things quickly this morning. I preached it in 15 minutes this morning. It's not the same message, but I believe I can do it in 15 minutes today and let you go home. Seldom do I study for two messages at the same time because they begin to interfere one with another. They interlap. But the Word of God is the Word of God. It's Jesus on every page from Genesis to Revelation. There it is. It's Him. It's the living Word of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's Him. It's the Word of God. So, because He lives, there's a few things right here that I want us to consider today. Now, we agree. Where the Scripture says He's risen. We can say this, that we have, because of that, we have a future, and because of that, we can know that where our future is at forever. Are you with me? If you are, raise your right hand. Wave at me. Are you with me? Some of you going, oh, Lord, this is one of them guys. He's asked us to hold our hands up. Number one. No one else could do this. Because He lives, the sin debt's paid. Say, I don't have any sin. You just committed one. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And if the truth is the Word and the Word dwells within us and we say we don't have it and the truth's not in there, I think we're in pretty bad shape, Brother Danny. But if we say, listen, you know what we all are? All these young men. Good looking. This is my posse, by the way. Good looking young men. You know what? Natural born sinners. You don't have to teach these boys to do wrong. Sorry, guys. They just do it. It's in them. Hey, mom and dad, it's in you too. You don't have to teach them to do it. We just do it. Why? Because it's in us. The debt's paid. No one else, no one, should I say it louder? No one else could pay the sin debt. It took the sinless one. Adam was the fall. Because of Adam, sin was, wherefore is by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. That man was Adam. It's passed on us. You still with me? But the second Adam. Holy, harmless, undefiled, what? Separate from sinners. Pilate, the man who knew what a sinner was when he stood before him, here's what old Pilate said about him. I don't find any fault in him at all. I don't see anything wrong with him. Here's what I've had some people tell me about our very church. I'd go to church over there, but oh, so-and-so goes. And they don't live it. They don't live it. I'd like to follow one around that said that for about a week and a half. Just see how close they were. They don't live it. I said, they may not. Junior said, they don't either. Junior said, that wasn't me. I'd go to church over there, but this, but you guys do this, or you guys do that. I got a problem. One guy said, you Free Will Baptists all pray at the same time. I can't take that. That just makes me nervous. I said, we ain't talking to you. Ah, hallelujah. There it is. I'd go over there. Here's what I've done. Randy, let me borrow your book. I said, there's a man in an old black book that I carry. His name's Jesus. And if you can show me a fault or a failure in him, I'll tell you, you don't need to go to church. But I've searched the pages. I've been from Genesis to Revelation and back and forth and to and fro. And I tell you what, I can't find. I can't find one thing wrong with him. I've examined the Lamb, and everything about the Lamb's perfect and pure. Glory to God. And you know what it took to pay my sin debt? It took a perfect Lamb. And you know what the Lamb done? He laid down on a cross. Hey, and they drove the nails in him, and they buried him in a tomb, and he got up the third day. Hallelujah. How'd he take it away? He who knew no sin became sin for me, that I might be made the righteousness of God in him. He became my sin. There's the answer to your question, Donna. The wrath. He became my sin. He not only became my sin, but then he buried my sin. The handwriting of ordinances that was against us and contrary to us, he nailed them to the cross. That letter of that law that said, Mike McCoy, guilty, 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 guilty. And all I could do is fall down and say, that's right, guilty, guilty, guilty. Jesus said, hey, I took that thing, I nailed that to the cross. Praise God, in me, accepted in the beloved. You know what it says? Not guilty. Glory to God, not guilty. The sin debt's paid. Anybody in here got a house mortgage? Don't raise your hand. You got a house mortgage? What if someone showed up this afternoon and said, look here, here's a check. You take this and pay your house off, and you're debt free. What about if they included all your automobiles? What if they included everything, that's all your credit cards? What if they come in there and said, here it is, I'm going to pay off everything you owe. You're about to be debt free. Do you know that you owed something that was worse than the mortgage? Far worse, Brother James, than a credit card. And you know what Jesus said? Here it is. Take it. And you can be debt free. Well, that ought to at least make you smile on resurrection morning. I'm glad the sin debt's paid. The sin debt's paid. Number two, watch this. This rhymes, as a matter of fact. The sin debt's paid. Saints aren't afraid. Am I wrong? What did he say in 2 Timothy 1:7? For he's not giving you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. What's the greatest fear that most people have within their life? They fear of dying. It's the fear of death. Do you believe that death locks Dick Sting when he got up out of that tomb? Sure you do. If you're saved, you do. Now, I'm not saying I'm volunteering to die. I'm just going to tell you, I got a lot more to live for now. By the way, we're grandparents for the first time. And I'd like to teach him a thing or two. But I'm not afraid to die. Because John said it like this, perfect love casteth out fear. I used this morning. I'll just touch it briefly. I've watched a lot of my family members die. I'll use my Uncle Al Ledbetter. I haven't mentioned him in a while. He's one of my heroes. Pat and I went to see Joby Lyle, we called him. We went to see Joby Lyle in the hospital, and he was nigh on dead. He was about to die. He's about to cross over. We walked up to the bed, and he began to weep. And it wasn't tears of fear. But here's what he said, Brother Johnny. He said, nephew, he called me nephew. He said, nephew, he said, I've never been closer to the Lord than I am right now. I am close. I'm close. How close are you? How close are you? You know what? We don't have to fear it, boys. If we trust Christ, we don't have to fear it. You know what's going to happen? I'm going to step out. I'm going to park this little car. And I'm going to put this thing. I'm not even going to put any change in the meter. It'll be parked there until He resurrects it out of the dust of the ground. But I'm going to park this thing and I'm stepping out of it. And I'm stepping into another world. And then one glorious day, wherever this thing's parked, here's what He's going to do. It's going to be like the latest model off of the GM line. He's going to construct something brand spanking new, and put me in it in a glorified state, Brother Wade Stover, and there shall I ever be. And I'm telling you what, it's going to be nice. It's going to have all the bells and whistles, and it's never going to need a repair, and it's all going to be just right. Saints don't have to fear. I've watched a lot of dying people. Sometimes I've even asked, are you afraid? Here's what the old saint of God says. What's there to be afraid of? I called Mike Blanton the day his sister Sandy had just died. Sandy passed away. I was going down the interstate. I hit call. He picked up the phone. He said, preacher, what time? And he said, my sister just went to heaven. I said, well, brother, I said, I'm sorry. He said, we'll miss her. He said, but she's lived her whole life to go where she's at. Are you afraid to die? Number 3, sin debt's paid. I'm glad He paid my debt. You can't pay it. You'll come up short. If you stand before God and say, I've done this, this, and this, and my sin debt ought to be, that should be enough, He's going to say, sorry. Corruptible blood. When I stand before God, I'm going to throw myself on the mercy of the court. I'll be at the judgment seat of Christ, by the way, not the great white throne. That's a message in itself. And say, covered by the blood. Covered by the blood. Are you covered? Are you afraid to die? Well, if you're not covered, you ought to be afraid to die. Number 3. Number 1, sin debt's paid. Number 2, saints aren't afraid. Number 3, listen to this. God gave me this. I was staring at the page. This thought came to me. Sinner's death delayed. Why? Because he lives. You know what's standing between you and the devil right now? Killing you graveyard dead and condemning you forever to a place that's called hell where he's going to be. And he wants you. He wants all the unsaved there with him. He wants everyone he can get because it's God's creation. The devil never created anything. He has created being himself. And what he wants to do is he wants to take everyone with him that he can. And he's good at what he does, Brother Brands. But you know what's standing between you and the devil taking you with him? The grace of God. The grace of God. I don't believe that, preacher. Let me give you a scripture. Luke 19 and 10, he said it like this. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's the purpose of his coming. He didn't come to just make blind people see. He didn't come to make crippled people walk. He didn't come to heal the lepers. He didn't just come for that. Those are all miracles performed by Christ. He didn't come for that. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Mankind's lost. Adam's fall. Everybody's born. Listen, that new grandson we've got, one of these days, he'll have to be born again. It's essential, Brother Dennis. He can't just go through life because he's a preacher's grandson or the son of Dustin and Joe Beth. He can't just go through life that way and expect to get into heaven. He'll miss it. But I can guarantee you this. This old fella's going to do everything he can to prevent that from happening because he's going to know one thing. He's going to know that he was born lost and he needs to be saved. And he's going to hear it from the time he's already heard it. He's already heard it. The first song that he heard me sing was this. I'm sitting there holding him the other day. I'm going somewhere with this. This is why Jesus came, seeking to save that which was lost. Here's what I sung, Brother Grover. There is a fountain filled with blood. Drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And old sinners plunge. And I leaned down and said, Colin, that's you. Old sinners plunge beneath that flood. They lose all their guilty stains. I just sang it along to him. Next thing I sung was, what a friend we have in Jesus. My, how we as parents have failed. We've taught our kids to throw fastballs, curveballs, how to shoot a gun, how to ride a motorcycle, how to kick a soccer ball, hey, how to do all these things. But I'm telling you what we need to be teaching them, brother. We need to be teaching them that there's born sinners and they've got to be born again to live forever. The purpose. But here it is. Here's his patience. For the Lord's not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to usward. That word long suffering means patient. Long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's his patience. That's what he wants you to do. He wants you to be sure that when they listen. When my family walks up to my coffin, I don't want them to stand there and mealy-mouth around and say, boy, I hope he made it. He said one time he is saved. Oh, Ned, you got all this? Oh, yeah. I want them to be able to stand there. If Colin's this old, I want them to say, oh, Pa is in glory today, and I'm going behind him. I leave you this testimony today. I'm born again into the family of God, and it's by the grace of God. Through the faith of God that He gave to me, I can place in Him. And when you preach it, listen, when you take His grace and His faith that He gives you and place that in Him, you're in pretty good shape. And what's the evidence of that happening, preacher? It'll change the way you think. If your attitude towards sin has never changed in your life, and it's everything's easy, greasy, and good to go, and if it feels good, do it, and there's no consequence to it, you got a problem with God. He saveth such it be of a broken heart and a contrite spirit. That means I'm all broke up about it. And here's what I'm broke up about, Brother Jimmy. That a heathen named Mike McCoy was the reason that the perfect Lamb of God went to Calvary and died and took a beating, took God's wrath, took His wrath, and took it in my place and buried it in the ground. Because He lives. The sin debt's paid. Saints aren't afraid. And the sinner's death is delayed. He don't want you to die in your sin. From this day forward, you have heard the gospel. Jesus Christ died for your sin, buried, rose the third day. 40 days later, ascended unto the Father and is seated at the right hand of God, making intercession for all those that will take the gift. And if you'll take it, He'll intercede for you today. And Some people sin for a long time and it looks like they're getting by with it. But the wage of sin is death. I'm going to attribute this story to Freddie Savage. I nearly know it was Brother Freddie that I heard tell this. And if Verena might even remember when it occurred. But I want to think he left Calvary Church one night. They were in a revival service. Anyway, someone left a revival service one night, if it wasn't Brother Freddie. And they're driving down the road. This couple, this elderly couple, just left church. Everything's good. Three old drunk boys come around a curve, hit them head on, and kill them graveyard dead. And when they pull up, to the wreck, he looks out in the field and there's them drunk boys staggering around. And there's them two Christians mangled and dead in their automobile. And the world would look at that and say, not fair. And it wasn't. But you know what God says when He looks at it? Long-suffering. Patient. Jesus died for the three drunk boys just like He did the ones that died. And you know what they done? They left that mangled car, Kenny Lane, and stepped into the portals of glory. And maybe somewhere down the line, one of them old drunk boys heard a preacher get up and say, Jesus died for your sin. And that wreck comes to their mind. And they see just how bad they've been and the heartache they've caused in their life. And all of a sudden they decide, listen, I need to repent. I need to turn around. I'm going the wrong way. I need to do something different than I'm doing now. And I need to do it now. I don't have tomorrow. I need to do it now. I could have died in that wreck. And maybe they come to an altar of prayer. From the old mourner's bench. Call upon the name of the Lord and are gloriously saved. It'd be a good thing to happen today in this place. The Bible said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That could be you today. Are you certain about it? Is that fear? Does that fear gouge you? Are you unsure? I don't know, preacher. I'm troubled by that. I'm afraid. Is it settled in your soul? Young person, you may have been raised in church. You've been in church all your life, but there's never been that time. This is the danger of being raised in church. They just think they're good enough to go. But the people that's raised in church need to be saved just like the one sitting on a bar stool out there this morning. You got to be saved going to church. Billy Sunday said going to church don't make you a Christian any more than standing in a garage makes you an automobile. Doesn't do it. God be saved.
Brenda, come to the piano for me. Randall, we'll get a song in just a minute. Pick you one out. We'll get one in just a moment. Give me the podium mic, Jeff. Right here's the most serious question you're going to be asked today. Are you sure you're saved? And what you got good enough to die with? You don't have to be old to die. You just got to be living, and everyone in here qualifies. But you'll die one day. You'll die. You're not expecting it. It'll come. Somebody come to our church. They said, I don't like going to that church. All that preacher talks about somebody dying. Listen, my pawpaw said, you're not ready to live until you're ready to die. That's pretty. That's mountain wisdom right there. But you're going to die. Are you ready to live? Would you bow your heads as she begins to play something on the piano? Pastor Mike McCoy, thanking you for joining us at the Time of Truth.